Well, hi there, and I'm so glad that you are joining me today. My name is Melody Savoy, and I'm over the worship department at Church of the King. If you don't know me, hello. I'm on this beautiful porch on this beautiful day on this swing, which I wish you were sitting alongside of me having a conversation, but this is the best that we can do. Why don't you grab your Bibles? We are going to get ready to start. First, we're going to pray and get started. God, we thank you for this day. I thank you for every person who is joining me right now. And I ask that you would just open up our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say. Use my words as a tool of you, Holy Spirit. May you pierce our hearts. May we not forget what you teach us. And everyone says with me, amen. All right. So right now we're in the middle of a sermon series called I Have Decided To, part of another one that's called Turn the Page, kind of something in our new year that we're doing. And this one, we are deciding to stay. And I could stay on this porch swing all afternoon, but I have to go home and take care of little babies. We're going to start with a key thought. Something that really got me when I was reading the notes in this sermon is the decisions I make today determine the stories I tell tomorrow. Say that with me. The decisions I make today determine the stories I tell tomorrow. I want to be proud of the story that I can tell 5 years from now. And you know, challenges will arise in our relationships, while we're pursuing our dreams and our jobs and our marriage in school. But we have to decide whether we will go or we will stay. Am I going to stay or am I going to just walk away when the going gets tough? And I'm going to say that if the Lord really doesn't tell you to go, you need to stay. There are times where we do need to walk away, but sometimes the best decision you can make is to stay when it is easier to go. I know a lot of us have this fight or flight kind of thing. And when it gets tough, we just want to run away and we think that it's going to fix everything. But I'm here to tell you that it's probably not going to do that. So I have a big question for you. How do we live a story that is worth telling? Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In this series that I talked about earlier, we're going to make four decisions: to start, to stop, to stay, and to go. Like I said before, today, we are going to decide to stay. It might be one of the hardest decisions because sometimes we choose comfort over commitment. And I'll touch a little bit on that in a minute. I've also found that the more that God wants to use me, the more I am tempted to quit. You know, God calls us to walk on the straight and narrow, and that straight and narrow gets pretty tight sometimes, a lot of times. But thankfully, we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit that just helps us really get through life and helps us to choose to stay instead of to run. The story I want to really focus on today is in Ruth, where Ruth decides to stay instead of go. And grab your Bibles, get them ready. We're going to start in Ruth chapter 1. But first of all, I'm going to ask you, why should we stay? Number one, we know where we should be because God told us this is where we need to be. Here's the thing, though. When the going gets tough, I said it so many times already, we like to leave. We like to bolt because it just seems easier. We want to escape. But you can't doubt in the dark what God has revealed to you in the light. You can't partner with the lies that the enemy tells you, that whispers in your ear. It would be so much easier somewhere else. The grass is always greener on the other side until you really get there and see what it's all about. Because everywhere you are, there are troubles. With people, with jobs, with circumstances, even with where you live, there's always going to be troubles. But with God, you can make it through. And this morning, I read a quote that says, a seed neither fears light nor darkness, but uses both to grow. So when the going gets tough, God can use that if you allow Him to help you to be closer to Him in your walk each day. So go ahead and grab your Bibles. We are going to turn to Ruth chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 7. So she left the place. So Naomi, that's who they're talking about. So she left the place where she was, her two daughter-in-laws, with her. And they started on the way back to Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." So to preface that, Ruth and her sister-in-law were married to Naomi's two sons. And Naomi's husband died and her two sons died. So Naomi and these two daughter-in-laws were just left and they were returning back to Naomi's home country. So verse 9, "The Lord grant that you may find a home and rest each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and they wept aloud. And they said to her, 'No, we will return with you to your people.'" A little bit of time went on and they went back and forth, and picking up in chapter 14, Orpah decided to leave, but Naomi decided to stay. So then they wept aloud again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." So they're staying together. And here's the second thing why you should stay, is because God has a plan. God had a plan for Ruth and Naomi. He always has a purpose. And this is a little commentary thing in here, a little note. It says, "We may not always understand his purpose, but we can be sure he definitely has one. Something may initially look terrible to us, as Ruth's situation must have looked to her and Naomi after the loss of their husbands. And yet all the while, God intends to show his glory by working something good from it." So you have to trust that God always, he always has a plan. But here's the thing, we have to choose commitment over comfort. And that's not an easy thing to do. Another commentary, it's like an article in here. I love this Bible, and I have to give credit to Joyce Myers because it's hers. So this Bible is just filled with notes and just taking the verses deeper. And one thing it says, I'm going to read more, "Many people choose comfort over commitment, but in the end, they miss out on the best that God had for them. Ruth did not know what her future held, but she determined to be a woman of godly character, which includes faithfulness. Together, Ruth and Naomi went through some lean and difficult times. However, they kept a good attitude." That's a big key, is that when we go through tough things, to not be down in the dumps, to not be, "Oh, poor me," to not say, "Oh, gosh, I wish this was over." It's to keep a good attitude. Keep your eyes on the Lord. They were thankful. Y'all, when you get in a hard, tough season and things get tough, I challenge you, turn your eyes from the problem and start thanking the Lord for all the things around you, for the breath, for the clothes on your back, for the food that you just ate, for the car that you're in, for the house over your head, even for the birds in the air, the clouds in the sky, the fresh air to breathe. It changes things around. So they had a good attitude, they were thankful, and they kept God in the center, and God kept making special arrangements to bless them. As it turned out, Naomi had a relative named Boaz who was very wealthy and also happened to be single. God gave Ruth favor with him, and they eventually got married. Our point 3, faithfulness equals fruitfulness. Why would Boaz have compassion on her? It's because he heard her story. Her one seed of faithfulness yields untold amounts of fruit. Faithfulness led Ruth from poverty to abundance. Proverbs 28:20 states that a faithful person will abound with blessings. Being faithful means we will have to endure some difficulty along the way. We will encounter things that we would rather run away from, but if we wait patiently for the Lord, we will see his salvation in every situation. Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Back to where I said about the seed. A seed neither fears light nor darkness, but uses both to grow. All right, here's another big question for you. What does God want you to want? Think about it for a second. What does God want me to want? More time with family? Maybe to help them develop spiritually or develop myself spiritually? Maybe it's to be more mindful and take my face and my eyes out of my phone while I'm walking down the street or driving the car. And to help our neighbors, to give somebody a smile. What does he want you to want? We have to stop pursuing our own desires and our dreams and surrender them to God. Turn with me. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Then down to verse 9, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. So it's easy to go. But we can't be tricked into going because it looks like a God situation or it looks like a good situation. Not every good thing is from God. You know, when Hurricane Laura happened, Lake Charles got really ugly and tough. And it's really easy to pick up and go and say, well, I'm never going to go there. But what if those who went, God really had a plan for them to stay and to help restore our community and speak into other people's lives? And, you know, my husband and I being in the music ministry and just creative people and doing, you know, music projects outside. Everybody's like, when are you going to Nashville? When are you doing this? You know, we have family. We'd love to be there one day. The countryside is beautiful, much prettier than Lake Charles, honestly. But right now, it's just not the time. It's not the time. We know that maybe one day, I don't know. I don't even know if he wants us to leave Lake Charles. I grew up here. My husband grew up here. Maybe we're here until Jesus calls us home. But until then, we will stay faithful. We will stay rooted where we are. We will not be quitters. We will not be led by feelings. Just because it's ugly, just because our house was destroyed, just because things are tough right now, doesn't mean that it's time to go. We got to be led by God. Can't be a quitter. God wants so much more of us. We need more of him in our lives and less of ourselves. How many times do we get that wrong, though? More of us and less of him. We need more of him and less of us. Here's another question. Where does God want you to be? Where does he want you to be? Let's not even talk about some place physically. It's kind of an internal thing to be. It's an internal thing with external implications. We have to focus our intentions and everything that we do to the glory of God. Maybe you're in school. Maybe it's hard. Be faithful, because before you know it, you're going to have a degree. Maybe you're in a job that's tough. Stick with it. Be favored by God. People are going to take notice. Do all the things to his glory. Do everything you do in worship to him, even though it's really hard. Are you in a church that you got your feelings hurt? I'm going to tell you, churches are made up of broken people. This world is made up of broken people. Not just a church are you going to get your feelings hurt or certain things in life. Broken people hurt people. But feelings hurt, yeah. But instead of leaving, instead of running away, choose to forgive, possibly. You know, don't live in hypocrisy. I looked it up. You know, people throw that term around, hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Well, what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone who indulges in hypocrisy. Well, what's hypocrisy? I looked it up, Webster Dictionary. The practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior doesn't conform. So you're saying these people at church, these people at work, whatever, they're saying you should be this way, especially at church, preaching from the platform, telling you should be this way. But then you're going to run away instead of offer forgiveness and set an example for God to restore and to redeem. I know this is tough. Don't be mad. I've been in so many situations. I grew up in church, born in church, cut my teeth on the pews. I've seen a lot of disagreements, a lot of things that probably, I don't even know, maybe that we had rights to leave. But here's the thing. 9 out of 10, God is not going to move you. He's not going to call you to a different place when you're mad, when things are going tough and things are getting tight. I don't think that that's the time when God is going to pull you out. So leave you with that. Another one that is probably touchy for some is marriage. Where does God want you to be? When does he want you to go in a marriage? I think this is a personal opinion that a lot of people get married with the option of divorce. And they don't take the covenant that God has created seriously. And they just leave because they feel like things could get better. Or they're not happy. They're not content. They don't have the joy that they think that marriage should have brought. And what do we go at? People are broken. People screw up. Hurt people hurt people. And we all have baggage of our own. Some things do come into marriage. Say abuse. I'm not saying that you need to stay and be a punching bag, but you don't have to divorce. You can leave and fight from a distance, fight for your marriage from a distance. God could really restore that and redeem what you once had. And you might say, but he cheated on me or she cheated on me, so I can leave, right? Yeah, adultery, it's grounds for divorce. But, if you don't leave, it could also be grounds for forgiveness. Grounds for restoration, especially if the two of you want to work together on that and it's not just one-sided. So I'm going to leave that there. A recap. Why should we stay? We should stay because we know where we should be. Don't doubt in the darkness what God told you in the light. We should stay because God has a plan. He always has a plan. We should stay because faithfulness equals fruitfulness. Some of you might make a decision to stay when you have every right to go. Ruth had every right to go. Naomi released her. She blessed her and said, go. But she decided to stay. And do you know that because she chose commitment over comfort and her faithfulness turned into fruitfulness, that Jesus was in her lineage. Jesus was in her bloodline. Isn't that awesome? If she would have left, she would have never met Boaz. She would have never had Jesus in her bloodline. So I could sit here with you. Stay rooted where you're planted. If God has not given you the green light and the go-ahead, one thing that my husband and I like to pray is, Lord, just let it not be gray. Let it be black and white. Should we stay? Should we go? Should we do this? Should we do that? And I think that God would honor that. I think about the phrase, bloom where you're planted. And I remembered back where I saw this picture, and it was an illustration kind of like in a museum or something, and horticulturally. And they had all this tall grass, like the native plants to the areas. And we live in the prairie, so like prairie grasses. You don't have to water those things. You don't have to fertilize it. They grow like a weed. But they cut away the layers of soil, and they showed you just how deep and long their roots are. And I am about 5'9", and the roots for this little tuft of grass, okay, the base of it is like this. It was sticking up about this far, about 2 feet. The roots were longer than me, about 7 feet deep. And you know, when we put all these feelers out sideways, when we look into that and this, and we have this busy schedule and that busy thing, and you know, we're looking into this theology and this philosophy and everything, instead of staying rooted in the Lord and going down, down deep, we have all these little roots that come out to the side, and it's easy for us to be ripped up. For those little weeds that just pop up, they don't have deep roots and they're just kind of spread out this way. It's easy for us to lose our footing and to lose our strength and our hold and just to be plucked out when the going gets tough. But if we stay deeply rooted into God and remember the promises that He has given us, the things that He has revealed to us, we can stay deeply rooted and grow and flourish. And that's some of the hardest things. Because like I said before, a seed, it doesn't fear the darkness or the light, but it uses both to grow. And that is what God is trying to do with you if you let Him. You know, Jesus, He stayed the course. He had a choice to leave. God created Him with a free will, just like us. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, He chose to stay the course. He chose to take the hard road. And I'm so thankful that He did that because I'm able to sit right here with you today. So where are you today? Are you getting uncomfortable? Are you trying to leave and get up and go when you don't really have a clear direction? I have a friend who told me, she said, she uses this little line, no peace, no pace. She doesn't have peace to step out to leave. She stays right where she is. Maybe God's telling you that today, to stay, not to go. Put your trust and your faith in Him. So we're going to pray right now. And I'm going to believe that God is going to speak to you and He's going to give you the strength to endure. You ready? Let's pray. God, I thank You for every person, every individual that has joined me today. I ask You that You would speak to them in their own personalized, detailed way, God. I can't tell them what to do. Their neighbor can't tell them what to do. Father, You can tell them what to do. May they have the courage to quiet what's all around them. And I just feel like sometimes, some of us, maybe you watching right now, is that we are afraid to get quiet, to get alone, because we are afraid to hear what God is trying to say. But I'm here to tell you that you don't have to worry what God's going to tell you, because He always has a plan for you. So Lord, we thank You for the words that You're bringing. Thank You, God, for the plans that You have for us. I speak blessing and protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today. Please join us next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.